Daniel and Tess are childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, and welcome to the broadcast. Today is the 2011 Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. As a pastor here in our area and as part of this community, I'm urging all families, each parent, to take some time out today to talk to your children about the sanctity of human life. We're encouraging all churches to mention this during your services and teach on the sanctity of human life. Sunday school teachers and parents alike, you need to avail yourself of resources freely available online. Just Google words like sanctity of life or right to life or pro-life resources and include some of this material in teaching your children. I'm also encouraging all the churches in our listening audience to prayerfully consider what you can do to help preserve life. Perhaps your church currently has no pregnancy resource center, often formerly called a crisis pregnancy center. Could you possibly be part of making such a ministry a reality for your community? Not all such ministries have to be medical in nature. You don't necessarily need to be equipped to perform ultrasounds to have such a ministry. If some members in a church undertake some training in how to counsel people facing this situation of pregnancy, or if you otherwise prepare yourselves to answer questions and provide valuable guidance during what many people view as a crisis, then you can potentially persuade people to have their baby instead of killing it through abortion. Perhaps your church already has a food pantry ministry that can assist with groceries. And very likely, the families in your church could assist with occasional donations of secondhand baby clothes. If you simply make the needs known as they occur and solicit donations straight from your families to the mothers in need, then you need not stockpile clothing at the church. Finally, a word to fathers about your family devotions. I want to ask you, are you teaching your children the sanctity of human life? Are you raising daughters that would not consider abortion as an option? Are you raising sons that would not suggest abortion as an option? Many people who are raised in the church, amazingly, have never heard this issue taught on, either at home or at church. Please don't let that be true in the case of your kids. I seldom play the same song 2 weeks in a row, but the song by Phillips Craig and Dean entitled He'll Do Whatever It Takes is such a fitting song that our pro-life message last week and our pro-life message this week just behooves us to play this awesome song a second time. Here they are, Phillips Craig and Dean, singing He'll Do Whatever It Takes.
You don't know just how far away from home I've been. She said as she looked into my eyes, could it be I've strayed beyond mercy's outstretched hand? Now His grace no longer stoops to hear my cry. You see, I just want to know, tell me how far will it go? Still reach to me in spite of where I've been. And I told her, He'll do whatever it takes. His grace reaches lower than yours must stay. And His love will run farther than you can run away, my friend. He'll do whatever that His love will follow you despite the miles. But my best years in life I wasted. Why would He even really care? What have I to give that He would find worthwhile? See, I just want to know. Tell me, how far will He go? Will He still reach to me in spite of who I am? Let me tell you,
He'll do whatever, whatever it takes. His grace reaches lower than your worst mistake. His love will run farther than you can run away, my friend. He'll do whatever, whatever it takes. He'll do whatever. You just keep reaching.
You're listening to The Voice of Truth, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. We'll be back in just a half a minute to continue our Sanctity of Human Life Sunday broadcast.
Teleport with Tess and Daniel to a place beyond time, space, and imagination. Although our world has had visitors from that one, this is the first time in history that it's gone the other way. Tesseract will transform you in mind-stretching ways. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph, available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon or at authorstock.com. Available wherever great books are sold.
The scripture teaches human life is sacred. The intrinsic value of human life comes from the creator of life, God. The fundamental right to life recognizes that we are created in the image of God and we're called to defend, protect, and value innocent human life. The psalmist wrote, "For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That's Psalm 139, verse 13. Recognition of the sanctity of human life is a foundation which provides guidance regarding how we treat others. The sanctity of life is about how the strong treat the weak. And we were all weak once, and we will all be weak again. On January 22, 1973, our foundation cracked. Some human life was identified as dispensable. Unborn children being knit together in their mother's womb were denied life. January 22, 1973, two decisions handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion in all 50 states through all 9 months of pregnancy. The principal decision, Roe v. Wade, repealed all state laws prohibiting abortion. The companion case, Doe v. Bolton, extended the right to abortion to the entire 9 months of pregnancy. On that day, abortion became a national response to the challenge of untimely human life. In January 1973, 7 men in black robes turned their backs on women and families in need and ruled that not all human life is sacred.
While Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in all 50 states, it allowed that abortions could be restricted by states during the last 3 months of pregnancy unless the life or health of the mother was at stake. However, in Doe v. Bolton, the U.S. Supreme Court defined health in very broad terms to include, quote, all factors, physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age, relevant to the well-being of the patient, end quote. Doe defines health in such a way that health, with regards to abortion, can be for any reason a woman can think up, and to which an abortionist will agree. And since he's being paid, he's likely to agree. Because of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, abortions may be and are performed through all 9 months of pregnancy. On January 22, 1973, our foundation cracked. Some human life was identified as dispensable. Unborn children being knit together in their mother's womb were denied life. The aftermath of January 22, 1973 is not a story of compassion and courage, but one of apathy disguised as choice. Instead of reaching out to those in need after January 22, 1973, we followed the example of the U.S. Supreme Court. We too, at times, turned our backs on women and families, leaving abortion as an only choice. One natural question is, why? Why do so many women have abortions? According to Family Planning Perspectives, the first reason given by women who have had an abortion is because of convenience. The birth of the child would upset a school or work schedule. The second reason women gave for having an abortion included financial concerns. Having relationship problems and being young and unmarried were also reasons given for having an abortion. Too many women express regret after having an abortion and say that they felt all alone when they were pregnant and needing to make decisions about the future. Abortion continues to be a reflection that we have not met the needs of women or children. The topic of abortion is viewed as taboo by some. This creates a void. Our respect for choice has quieted the common sense voice speaking up for the unborn. That voice, your voice, is desperately needed to repair the Sanctity of Life Foundation. Since January 22, 1973, an estimated 53 million unborn American children have been denied the very right to life. Currently, about 1.2 million unborn children are denied life each year because of abortion. January 22, 1973, our foundation cracked. Some human life was identified as dispensable. Unborn children being knit together in their mother's womb are denied life. It is time to repair the foundation and to recognize that all human life is sacred. The psalmist wrote, "For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." While the psalmist considered a mother's womb to be a sacred place, modern technology and the science of embryology have provided us the amazing ability to uncover the miraculous developments of an unborn child. You might have heard before that the heart of an unborn child starts beating 22 days after conception. But did you know that the eyes begin to develop in the fourth week? And did you know that only 6 weeks after conception, the child begins to hiccup and move spontaneously? The word completeness properly describes the second month after our lives begin at conception. In a single month, the hint of a heart becomes a heart. The shadow of an eye becomes an eye. Four ridges are sculpted into a human face. Life unfolds, and it is magnificent. Each person is a masterpiece, which has never been nor ever will be replicated. From the moment of conception, a new human life has begun. Growing in the way that each of us grew, appearing as each one of us appeared, the story of life is an exceptional tale which is too often ended far too early. Today is a new day. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. To repair the foundation, which recognizes that all human life is sacred, we must accept all human life. His life is sacred, her life is sacred, and your life is sacred. You were knit together in your mother's womb to reflect God. You were created in the image of God. You are sacred. The past, which cracked the foundation of the sanctity of life, cannot be changed, but today we can live a life filled with hope and joy for tomorrow and work to fill in those cracks. Your words and your actions can repair the sanctity of human life foundation. Too often the words we speak can seem empty to the person who hears. Let your actions speak for you. Pray for the leading of the Lord. You should educate yourself on life issues. A good place to start is at the Right to Life website, www.nrlc.org. You should volunteer at a pregnancy center. Pray for those in the abortion industry and for mothers experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. Donate diapers to a resource center. Become involved with your local Right to Life chapter. Tell the children in your life that they are special and unique. And speak out on life issues, formally and informally. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Decide today to defend and protect and value innocent human life. May our decisions be grounded in the fact that all are created in the image of God.
Daniel and Tess are childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.
You're listening to The Voice of Truth, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I'm your host, Pastor Doug Joseph. I'd like to read an excerpt from an article entitled The Sanctity of Human Life by Kerry Gordon Earle. The sanctity of human life. Is it still a sacred concept or just another adage that doesn't work in today's society? Focus on the Family, a national ministry dedicated to the furthering of biblical values with regard to marriage and family, believes that human life is of inestimable worth and significance in all its dimensions, including the preborn, the aged, the widowed, the mentally handicapped, the unattractive, the physically challenged, and every other condition in which humanness is expressed from conception to the grave. Without a doubt, human life is sacred. At some point in your life, you may have even expressed these words in one form or another, trying to explain your pro-life views. Respect for the sanctity of human life is at the center of all we do as Christians. So what does that look like, and how can we incorporate it into our daily lives? Our Judeo-Christian tradition teaches us the sanctity of human life. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Having been made in the image of God means so much more than receiving certain abilities or attributes. It means we are actually the image of God. What a privilege. Each of us carries the image of the Creator. We're not merely flesh and blood. Since we're image bearers of the living God, our lives are sacred, based on something beyond our unique characteristics and abilities. This image or likeness of God is not tangible. You can't see, touch, or smell it. It's part of the mystery of life. Being made in the image of God provides us as humans with direction and guidance regarding how we treat one another. Men, women, and children should be respected regardless of their mental capacity, physical ability, faith, or absence of faith, or social position. These people may or may not exhibit attributes of God, but that doesn't determine their worth. Their value is established on the basis of the nature of God, who is the perfect example of dignity and holiness. The sacredness of human life is not based on accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Every human life, Christian or not, has inestimable value because each life is created in the image of God. Each human spirit is a mirror image of the likeness of Yahweh. This is not just reserved for Christians, but extends to all members of the human family. How do we define human dignity? Human dignity is innate, bestowed upon us by God. It's not based on our ability to care for ourselves or even the competence to complete the task. Dignity is not a concept that can be forfeited, so being dependent on others cannot cause us to lose our dignity. Our culture's failure to honor human dignity is evidenced in words like quality of life. People would rather die than continue living with a disability. Dependency is looked upon as the ultimate weakness. From that attitude comes the press for cultural acceptance of solutions such as euthanasia, instead of giving compassionate care to those who cannot care for themselves. A common fear among the disabled or terminally ill is that of becoming a burden. No one is immune to this fear. We can restore human dignity through our witness of caring for each other, even in our times of dependence and need. The challenge is before us. We need to reestablish the sanctity of human life ethic in our generation, and we must begin with the church. Even as Christians, we fail to comprehend the value of every human life because we cease to look at each other in awe. Our view of one another should be as breathtaking creatures, embodying a touch of the Creator Himself. Churches must lead the way by teaching the truth about the value of life from a biblical worldview. So, how can you help restore the sanctity of human life ethic? Begin the restoration in your own heart. Routinely examine your heart for attitudes that violate the spirit of the sanctity of human life ethic. It can take on many forms, including disdain for someone we don't know, based on his or her appearance, a negative comment made under our breath, or impatience with a slow driver. The sins of superiority, contempt, and slander are far more frequent and easier to hide than the physical crimes of assault, rape, or murder. We need to teach the next generation a respect for all human life. Parents should teach their children through word and deed. Together, we can restore the beauty and reverence our Creator intended by restoring dignity to humankind. That excerpt and many other great resources can be found at beavoice.net. Focus on the Family is providing these resources as part of the Sanctity of Human Life Month. As I mentioned, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, but January is Sanctity of Human Life Month. Focus on the Family intends to promote the Sanctity of Human Life not only during all of January, but into much of February as well. Again, that website is beavoice.net. Francis J. Beckwith, a professor at Baylor University, writes, "Abortion is an issue over which Americans are deeply divided, and there is little chance that this discord will be remedied anytime soon. Each side of this cultural divide consists of citizens sincere in their convictions, but the passions that fuel these convictions about abortion often distract us from understanding the issues that really divide us." It may seem odd to say the issues that really divide us, since it seems obvious to most people that what divides us is in fact only one issue, abortion. But this is misleading. After all, if abortion did not result in the death of an unborn human being, the controversy would either cease entirely or diminish significantly. So what we disagree over is not really abortion, but rather our disagreement is over the nature of the being whose life abortion terminates, the unborn. But there is another issue that percolates beneath the abortion debate. What does it mean to say something is wrong? Suppose, for example, you're arguing with a friend over the question of whether abortion should remain legal, and your friend says to you, "If you don't like abortion, then don't have one." Although this is a common response, really, it is a strange one. After all, you probably oppose abortion because you think it is wrong, not because you don't like it. This can be better understood if we change the issue. Imagine that your friend is a defender of spousal abuse and says to you, "If you don't like spousal abuse, then don't beat your spouse." Upon hearing those words, you would instantly conclude that your friend has no idea why you oppose spousal abuse. Your opposition is not based on what you like or dislike. It's based on what you have good reason to believe is true. One ought not to abuse a fellow human being, especially one's spouse. That moral truth has nothing to do with whether or not you dislike spousal abuse. In the same way, pro-lifers oppose abortion because they have reasons to believe that the unborn are full-fledged members of the human community, no different in nature than you or me, and for that reason, the unborn has a right to life that ought to be enshrined in our laws. Thus, in order to defeat the pro-lifer's point of view, the abortion advocate must show that the unborn is not a full-fledged member of the human community. At the end of the day, the abortion debate is not about likes or dislikes. It is about who and what we are, and whether the unborn is one of us. Is the unborn one of us? There is no doubt that the unborn is a human being from conception, the result of the dynamic interaction and organic merger of the female ovum, which contains 23 chromosomes, and the male sperm, which contains 23 chromosomes. At conception, a whole human being with its own genome comes into existence, needing only food, water, shelter, oxygen, and a congenial environment in which to interact. These are necessary in order to grow and develop itself to maturity in accordance with its own nature. Like the infant, the child, and the adolescent, the unborn is a being that is in the process of unfolding its potential, the potential to grow and develop itself, but not to change what it is. The unborn being, because of its nature, is actively disposed to develop into a mature version of itself, though never ceasing to be the same being. Thus, the same human being that begins as a one-cell zygote continues to exist to its birth and through its adulthood unless disease or violence stops it from doing so. This is why it makes perfect sense for any one of us to say, "When I was conceived." Abortion advocates typically do not dispute that the unborn is a human being during all or most of its time in the womb. For example, philosopher David Boonin, in his book A Defense of Abortion, writes, "On the desk in my office, where most of this book was written and revised, there are several pictures of my son, Eli. In one, he is gleefully dancing on the sand along the Gulf of Mexico, the cool ocean breeze wreaking havoc with his wispy hair. In the top drawer of my desk, I keep another picture of Eli. The picture was taken September 7, 1993, 24 weeks before he was born. The sonogram image is murky, but it reveals, clearly, enough of a small head tilted back slightly and an arm raised up and bent, with the hand pointing back toward the face and the thumb extended toward the mouth. There is no doubt in my mind that this picture, too, shows the same little boy at a very early stage in his physical development, and there is no question that the position defended in this book entails that it would have been morally permissible to end his life at this point." Why does Professor Boonin hold this view? Like some other philosophers, Boonin maintains that the unborn, though a human being, lacks characteristics that are necessary for it to have a right to life. These characteristics typically include having a self-concept, a particular level of higher brain activity, and/or a desire for a right to life. But there are serious problems with this view. We're all out of time for this week, but next week we'll pick this discussion up again.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.